across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. And so, the lockdown begins, and yet it doesn't. We're about to enter the eighth week of exposure to coronavirus, and we are now seeing politicians, footballers, actors, amongst the estimated 10,000 people who are now thought to have the disease in the United Kingdom. Yesterday, Boris Johnson told the country to prepare for the deaths of many loved ones. Quite an extraordinary statement. The city's finances suffered their worst losses since 1987, and more people have been told that they must stay at home if they have a cough or a temperature, because they are calling this the worst public health crisis for a generation. Today, we will continue to ask for your calls as more and more people prepare to be sent home from work. Schools remain open, but it does look increasingly likely that that could change, although we're only a fortnight away now from the Easter holidays. Tell us what your companies are doing, what you're hearing from your children's teachers, and what your plans are for next week if everybody's told not to move around. How exactly will that be working? 0344 499 1000. Coming up, we'll be travelling to Spain and to Denmark to test the temperature of what a proper lockdown actually looks and feels like, and how people are actually operating within those constrictions. Also, we'll be finding out what the future holds for all sporting events, the Olympics and the Euros, even as the Cheltenham Gold Cup gets underway later on today. It seems to me the Premier League football is going to have to be cancelled fairly soon as well. 0344 499 1000. Also, because it's Friday, of course, we've got the Perrier Awards, and the good news is Con isn't here, so Martha's going to be doing them coming up in the final hour of the show. You'll listen to me, Mike Graham, right here on the fastest growing radio station on the planet. It is, of course, Talk Radio.
Mid-morning with Mike Graham. Talk Radio.
Front page of The Sun this morning. Cough and you're off, of course. Sick Brits are told they must stay at home for a week if, in fact, they have a cough or if they have some kind of temperature. Let's talk to political editor of The Sun, Tom Newton-Dunn, to find out how he thinks this is all going. Tom, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
I've been looking at your Twitter feed, Tom, and it seems as though you are one of those of the opinion that, Boris is actually doing OK here. He's taking the right advice. He's not panicking. He's not kind of putting in measures as we've seen in Denmark and in Ireland and obviously in Italy. And you think he's on the right track?
Well, I have to say, I think he's on the right track because he's following the medical advice. Boris, I think, has taken the right decision here to defer everything he does and he asks the country to do to the wisdom of two people, Chris Whitty, who's the chief medical officer, and Sir Patrick Vallance, who's the chief scientific advisor. Two people we're all becoming extremely familiar with. They're becoming household names, if not household heroes now. And their advice is absolutely fascinating. It's different, as you say, to a lot of European countries, but for extremely good, sound scientific reason. You know, we heard both men, each side of Boris Johnson last night from Downing Street, explain this, and Sir Patrick Vallance has been doing a big broadcast round this morning. And it's based on, from what I can work out, really, and it's a very difficult political message to put across, which is why I don't think Boris Johnson has been saying this overtly yet, but I suspect we'll hear more of that soon. The message is basically, we cannot stop this. Everybody is going to get this at some stage. Therefore, the idea of trying to suppress it, hide people away, all you're doing is delaying things to potentially less advantageous times for hospitals to be full up with the very sick. So the British government strategy, based on Patrick Vallance and Chris Whitty's best possible recommendations and wisdom and work, is try and manage this in the best way possible so that the sick who really need hospital care can get it and there is the beds for them. That means trying to sort of spread out the contagion so it peaks in the summer months when the healthcare is most available to them.
Yes, and of course he has been very clear about being sure that the most important aspect of this is public health, but the underlying problem as well of economic disaster is there for all to see, because we've just heard today both the Football League and the Premier League now banning all football basically in this country, and UEFA doing the same as well, until April.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, especially if you're an Arsenal fan and you heard the news about Mikel Arteta last night, like me, then that's no bad thing as far as your team's concerned, since the Arsenal ranks are going to be decimated anyway. But I think that's inevitable. The interesting thing is, I mean, we'll hear from the Premiership and the Football League about this soon, I imagine. But I suspect it's not because they've got public health concerns and they're worried people are going to be catching coronavirus in their grounds. It's far more you can't have a football league when half the players are going down and half the management has gone down. It's just simply unfair and a different, you know, a bad way of doing business. The other fascinating thing that came out this morning from Sir Patrick Vallance is that actually, do you know what? People getting it now, fit people, healthy people, children, adults, people without underlying health conditions, that is no bad thing at all. And that is, I think, the hardest possible message for anyone to try and explain, because it's all about building up immunity. There is no cure for this. There's no vaccine. It's going to be here forever. It will return next winter, the winter after that. It's a permanent fixture on the disease calendar now. So try and build up some immunity. See, once you get it, your system kicks in and you develop an immunity, and hopefully you won't get it again unless it mutates. But it's a managed contagion rather than what I think the government would look at. And I have to say, I agree, and I think you do, Mike, a slightly blind slamming the stable door panic we're seeing going on in other countries.
Yes, exactly right. And clearly, I think there is an aspect to closing schools, which would have an impact perhaps on the health service, because a lot of people with young children who work in the health service would have to take time off to look after the kids. So I'm apparently in Singapore, they've kept the schools open as well. I'm not necessarily one who would say you have to shut all the schools.
No, I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, I mean, certainly if my kids came out of school, then either my or I or both of us would have to stop work right. entirely, because, you know, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds need pretty much full-time attention. But there's also, what are you going to do with the kids? Can you lock your kids up in the house for a full week? I mean, I'll struggle with that. I'll certainly struggle to lock them up for 12 weeks or 3 months, which is how long this current contagion is going to last. So you've got to look at, you know, Ireland, Italy. How long are kids going to be off school for? Mm. How long is that going to take parents out of work? And how long is that going to decimate the economy? We do have to carry on with life while managing the risk as best as humanly possible. And it strikes me by shutting everything down, potentially for 3 to 6 months, it's just not the way to do that.
And it may well be that it doesn't work anyway, because I've heard scientists talking this morning about the fact that if you do that, when you reopen everything in 3 months' time, it just comes back. So, you know, it's not necessarily doing anything other than just postponing it. And I was going to ask you this question, Tom, because we're going to talk to someone in Denmark later on in this hour, but how would you see, if this government does insist on slightly more draconian measures, how does the country continue to work? You know, if you're told that you're not supposed to travel to work, you have to work from home, you know, you might be told that, I might be told that, lots of people might. How does it get kind of enforced?
Well, certainly my company and, well, since we work for roughly the same company, but I suspect yours too, we're doing a lot of trials at the moment of working from home. Mm. So one day next week, a whole load of us have been told to work from home. We don't have to yet, but just to see if we can get the system to work. And there is actually necessarily no bad thing in trying these slightly different things. And, you know, in times of national emergency, it's often said in wartime, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. And it could well be that there are actually some quite more productive ways of working that we could develop by the fact it's been forced upon us now, such as, do we all really need to be in for that meeting? Can we get more done if we're here than dropping the kids off, and then we can immediately go onto a business call rather than sitting on the tube and sweating it out for half an hour? So I suspect we'll come out of all of this. Clearly, it's not ideal at the moment. There'll be some immense disruption, especially if you need to physically be in the workplace, like in operating a factory machinery or driving maybe. But in terms of office-based stuff, I suspect that our productivity as a nation will be increased by this in the long term, because we'll work out some slightly cleverer shortcuts we never thought of trying before.
No, quite. Well, you'd be pleased to know that our good friends in Bristol, you know, who welcomed Greta Thunberg to the city a few weeks ago, have allowed a direct action environmental campaign to target 11 different businesses across Bristol today because they're anti-capitalist. Isn't that marvellous?
Thank God for that.
Unbelievable. So as far as the next steps go, what are Downing Street saying? Are they kind of, I mean, they, like I say, they seem to be taking each week sort of one day at a time almost.
Yeah, I think that's exactly the case. It's almost a day at a time at the moment. I mean, there's some argument that we could have had the pretty dramatic and big announcements from Boris Johnson that we saw yesterday, the day before, actually. Mm. I think that probably would have helped better. Of course, the day before that was Wednesday, which is the day of the budget. And the government desperate not to have that overshadowed. But they are rolling this out on a timetable entirely dictated by the medical practitioners. So when do we need to announce what to best manage the contagion and manage the people, amount of people coming into the hospital, and manage the amount of people getting it and developing antibodies, which they now want people to do. So that doesn't mean we won't see a lot more social distancing. I think we will over the weeks ahead. And we could well see schools close. Remember, we've got Easter holidays coming up, which is coming actually very, very conveniently for the school calendar.
Yeah.
You know, 3 or 4 weeks off, absolutely as Britain begins to get into the sort of peak period of contagion. So maybe schools won't close before then. They may not open after then, I think is a bit more likely. Certainly the Premier League is acting. So we will see more movement restrictions from the government, potentially travel restrictions. But someone put it to me in government the other day, what's the point in restricting travel when the whole world has got this? When there's nowhere else left to go in the world where you can't catch it or can't spread it.
Yeah.
So we may well soon be entering a brand new phase in all this.
And what about all the measures that were announced by Rishi Sunak on Budget Day for people to be given assistance financially if they do have to take time off work or if they are sick? Are they confident that machine is going to whir into motion quickly enough?
Yes, that's all going to kick in very soon. There's some changes that have been made now without legislation, such as the access to ESA, the sickness benefit, for statutory sick pay to be paid by the government, for government to pick up businesses' costs. That may need a bit of law, but the finance bill is going to come through Parliament very quickly indeed, potentially next week. And remember, there's this emergency legislation coming, and the government's going to pass a bill. Well, I think we expect to see it next week, that they'll rush it through before Easter recess the week after that to give the state the powers it needs to tackle this, you know, whether it's recruiting more NHS people, stopping people at the borders, whatever it is. So the government machine is turning fast. I think the big unknown, though, was what Rishi Sunak was announcing, was, you know, a whole load of money, £12 billion alone to fight this, whether it's bailing out businesses or individuals or money for the health service, whether that's going to be enough. Because what is clearly going to happen now is the growth in the country is going to take a massive hit.
Yeah.
The government will definitely need to try and stimulate the economy more by putting more money into the economy. And also, the government's own forecasts for how much tax takings it can take this year to supply the country with everything it needs is also going to come down. So that's, I think, probably the biggest concern which you see that it has now. It gets a bit technical, but his growth forecasts, produced by the Office of Budget Responsibility, who are independent, predicted growth about 1.1% this year, pre-coronavirus outbreak. Now, clearly, we're not going to grow at 1.1% this year when much of the economy shuts down for 3 to 6 months. So he is not going to get the tax takings he wanted by the autumn. And I think we're basically going to have to see a brand new budget drawn up and put in place, because he can pretty much tear up and throw in the bin the one he did on Wednesday.
Yeah. And unless they get this very wrong, it's not a bad thing. And I don't mean this in any sort of flippant way, but it's, you know, these kinds of emergency situations are often good for politicians and quite good for government, because it means that every other piece of general criticism sort of disappears.
Well, yeah, and there's certainly that in terms of a good day to bury bad news, I suppose. But actually, I think the opposite is happening, that pretty much all politics is beginning to grind to a halt everywhere else apart from coronavirus. So we saw the second round of the Brexit negotiations next week cancelled last night. They'll try and do that via Skype or something. It's going to be pretty ineffective. Also, the local elections now in May, a whole lot of councils and mayors in towns and big cities are going to get elected. That is almost certainly also going to be cancelled.
Right.
So, you know, the machine, the British political machine, is basically grinding to a halt and flipping entirely onto an emergency response to coronavirus. So, really, there is no politics anymore apart from coronavirus.
Yeah, it's the new Brexit, isn't it? I mean, it's an incredible thing. Tom, thank you very much indeed. Tom Newton-Dunn, political editor of The Sun there, telling us precisely what this all means for Downing Street, what it means for Boris Johnson, what it means for the next few weeks and months, basically, of general life in this country, because I'm still not entirely certain how it all works. If we are going to go into some form of lockdown, who polices that? Who tells you that you can't go in your car and take your kids to the local park? Who tells you that you can't get on a train and travel to some kind of event that you've had planned for quite a long time? If you've got a wedding to go to, you've got maybe 50th birthday parties to go to, you've got wedding anniversaries, you've got holidays. I want to hear from you all, and we will take your calls coming up next. 0344 499 1000 is the number. This is, of course, Talk Radio.
Mid-morning with Mike Graham. Talk Radio. The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham here on Talk Radio. Got some really good tweets coming in on all manner of different things, but particularly about coronavirus and about the way that you guys are, in fact, seeing what's happening out there. Because that's what I'd like to hear from you on, is the eyes and ears of our community are you, the listeners to this show. And you can tell us and we can tell everybody else. Jill says, I'm just back from the supermarket. Supplies at a lower level than usual, but as far as I can tell, everything had some availability. Staff said it's been manic, although I went up to the till and was the second person in line. So there are no big queues. Well, I think most of the crazy shopping has already been done. And if you've been out stocking up toilet paper in the past week, you're probably not going to be out stocking up again this Friday. But who can say? Let us know if you've been to the shops, what you're seeing, who you're talking to, what you're being told. Jonathan says, here's an idea. I'm not one for sitting at home hidden. Let's get a quick training program going for people who want to help the NHS as support for the staff. Well, I thought we heard back over a week ago, which is a long time in the history of the coronavirus, basically, that we were going to use an awful lot of volunteers in the NHS because that was going to be the answer for a while. Now, I don't know whether that is still something that actually is being recommended. Chris says, my grandson's school teacher has been isolated for having the symptoms of the virus, so the school is closed. What plans are in place for this? I don't know. Neo says, the mere fact that Boris Johnson is not following many other nations is in itself making big calls. We had Gerard, the caller, on earlier, who was saying he didn't think that Boris Johnson was taking this seriously enough. I think he is. But having just heard what the Football League has done, is he doing enough? That is the question. Let's talk to John Adams, who is a dad of two, parenting blogger at dadblockuk.com. Because, of course, one of the things that you have to worry about during anything like this is how you talk to your kids exactly about the coronavirus. Very good morning to you, John. How are you?
Good morning. I've got a bit of a sore throat and a bit of a cough, actually, but otherwise I'm okay.
Well, I mean, they say if you've got a new cough, you might need to stay at home for 7 days. I mean, how old are your kids?
The eldest is 11, youngest is 7.
Right, so they're young enough, really, that if their school was to close, you would have to look after them at home, wouldn't you?
Oh, well, I've got one at home with me today,
And why is that?
She's not got a high temperature. She's got an elevated temperature. She's got a cough. That's the advice.
Did the school suggest that you keep her at home?
No, I kept her at home anyway. The school have actually asked me to get back in touch with Public Health England, just to double check, basically. So that's the situation as it stands at the minute. But who knows how long the schools are going to be open for anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, it's only about 2.5 weeks or so until the Easter holidays, because I was talking to MPs about this the other day down in Westminster. They go into recess in a couple of weeks, so they're kind of reluctant to close everything down any earlier than that, because after that, they'll have a bit of a break anyway.
Well, that's it. I mean, obviously, I've got no special information. I know nothing more, but I do wonder if the schools will close early ahead of Easter, because... a week or two early, because people will obviously have plans or they've geared up for those 2 weeks anyway. So you'd just be making a holiday slightly longer
Well, I'd be amazed if anybody's booked an Easter holiday and is now going on it, because I'd be surprised if anybody wanted to. Because, I mean, I don't know whether you have. I certainly haven't. And some years we do and some years we don't. It just depends on, you know, the way the cookie crumbles, as it were. But at the moment, we are kind of sitting around thinking we're not actually going to book anything. We're not actually going to make any plans because we don't really know where this is all going.
No, we don't know where this is going. And I'd spare a thought for my goddaughter, who was meant to be going away on a school trip to Belgium to visit the World War I cemeteries out there.
Right.
So I assume that must have been called off. She's meant to be going this weekend.
Right.
But no, we've got no holidays booked. But I'd imagine if you were that kind of person and feeling cheeky, it's probably a very good time to look at a summer break in Italy.
I'm sure it is. But I don't think we can, with any kind of sort of surety at all, even look ahead to what Italy's going to look like in the summer. Because from what we're told, the streets of Milan and other cities are completely deserted. Their economy is going to be completely and utterly destroyed, I think. And who knows what it's going to be like there.
Well, this is very true. Who does know? And you're quite right. I mean, I'm staggering. What is it that's open there now? Pharmacies and food shops and everything else has been forced
basically,
to close.
Basically, yeah, restaurants are closed. The football probably is going to be cancelled. I mean, what are you saying to your kids? Because this is the other thing that one of my youngest said at one point, that he didn't want to go to school because he was frightened of going to school. And we had to sort of have this conversation with him to say, look, you know, there's a very small chance that you get sick. And if you do get sick, there's an even smaller chance that it's anything more than some very bad flu.
Well, this is very true. And it is a case of actually keeping it in perspective and making it clear to them that if you do fall ill, that the odds are, you know, we are thankfully, a very healthy family, that it won't be particularly serious. Morbid and dreadful thought it was. I was actually talking through to the kids exactly who has died in the UK. And if you look at it, it does seem that everyone has had an underlying health condition,
yes,
and was quite a senior age. And my kids were actually quite reassured by that, which I know that's a horrible thing to say, but they did find that, you know.
Like in everything else, John, you have to be as honest as you can be, don't you? And I mean, in the end, unless and until we get evidence to the contrary, that would seem to be what happens, right? Now, people are reporting in from Italy saying that there are some other people under the age of 60 who are getting sick and who are dying. I haven't been able to confirm that, so I don't know. But certainly doesn't seem... As I was told yesterday, there was a 9-year-old boy in Israel who seems to have contracted it. But again, no word on how seriously that has affected him.
Well, exactly. And I mean, I could be very wrong on this, but the impression I've been getting all along is that if you are healthy and you are of a... You know, you don't have an underlying health condition, and you're—I hesitate to say what young is these days—but you're likely not to be too badly impacted. And you know, these could be famous last words, but I'm not unduly concerned for me or anyone immediately around me. But we have got to think about those members of the community that will be affected, and it's not just a case of getting the illness, of course. You know, there's the widows and widowers or single parents who are going to struggle to get out and do the food shopping or struggle to live day to day just because everything is going to close down.
Oh, that's right.
Keep them in mind.
And I've got a tweet here from Gaz who says, I've just been to collect my grandma from a care home after a short illness and we weren't allowed in to get her. We had to wait in the car park for them to bring her out. So things are starting to happen like that.
Well, they are. They are. I mean, I think it was Jeremy Hunt said yesterday, wasn't it? He couldn't quite believe that care homes were still letting people in. So maybe we should actually... I know it's tough, but maybe those measures are coming in. Maybe it's the right thing to do at this stage, because care home residents are going to be some of the most vulnerable.
Yes, I think that is the problem. I mean, I don't know if you've got elderly parents or anything, John, but I think most people who have got older relatives are being a bit careful about going to visit them.
Well, they are. And in fact, my mother-in-law is meant to be coming down next weekend. And I was speaking to my wife about that yesterday. Because, you know, as I say, I've got a sore throat and a little bit of a cough. But if my daughter, who's downstairs at the minute, if she's coughing the way she is at the minute, I don't think it would be a good idea for my 80-plus mother-in-law to pay us a visit, really, at the minute.
No, I don't think it would be. But we shall see. Well, good luck with the little one. Hopefully she feels a bit better. And hopefully you feel a bit better as well.
Thanks ever so much, Michael. Right.
See you soon. John Adams there, Dad of Two, parenting blogger at dadblock.com. Because here's the thing, you know, if you are looking after some children at home, we need to know whether you've been told to do that, whether you've had to take time off. I happen to know that John is able to work from home, so that's not a massive problem for him. But it could be quite a big problem for many of you who have to take time out. And probably what the government's trying to avoid at the moment anyway is people who maybe work in frontline health situations, you know, the NHS in hospitals, if you're a nurse, if you're a doctor, they don't want you having to take time off to look after your kids because they need you at work. And that is as simple as that, really.
Mid-morning with Mike Graham. Talk Radio. The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Talk Radio. We're live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook and on Twitter as well, so you can watch us as well as listening to us. I really appreciate all the information we're getting in from you about the state of what shops are looking like, about the kinds of advice you're getting from your schools, from your children's teachers and indeed from the government, and how you're dealing with it all and how you're coping with it all, because we are the voice of reason on this radio station. We don't want to panic anybody. We want to make sure that every piece of information we give you is entirely straight from the horse's mouth, stuff that you're seeing, stuff that you're being told, places you've been, and things that you are seeing on an everyday basis. 0344 499 1000 is the number. Don't forget, we've got a podcast going out every single day. We had a bit of a problem with yesterday's one, but it's out now. Don't listen to it now, though. Listen to it later if you missed it yesterday. We're going to go now over to Denmark, though, which has been in a lockdown situation this week and probably for the next 14 days or so. We're going to speak to Chanel Vestergaard, community biologist, owner of a company called Little Pink Maker, because she is, along with some other members of the community, creating self-testing kits for the coronavirus, which is quite fascinating in itself. Chanel, a very good morning to you. Welcome.
Good morning. Well, good afternoon, actually. So it's currently lunchtime here in Copenhagen.
And what does it look like at lunchtime on a Friday in Copenhagen in this sort of lockdown situation?
It's very, very creepy. So the streets are pretty empty. Right. Our Prime Minister, Mette Frederiksen, she's basically saying, everyone stay home, try and do, we're calling it social distancing. So instead of, you know, being up close with people, stay at least 6 feet away from everyone. Supermarkets, when she announced on Thursday evening, it was about 22 at night, everyone just kind of beeline straight to the supermarket, even though she said, please don't, there's plenty of food, there's plenty of supplies, stop buying toilet rolls, you don't need to stockpile them. And right now, it's very strange. It has a very apocalyptic feel.
Yes, I imagine. And are the shops actually open at the moment, or are they ordered to close down so that that kind of traffic stops?
What's just happened is there's just been an emergency laws put into place which states that certain places and spaces will be closed. So bars, restaurants, anywhere where more than 100 people can gather are officially closed. By law, and they'll close down.
Okay.
These laws basically end as of the 1st of April, so they're kind of like mini laws, you could call it. But people who are working in the supermarkets, they are kind of on the front, you could say. So they've been given extra sanitary items, sprays, things to clean down all of the units. And when you're handling money, they're wearing gloves or handling receipts. The only thing that I'm a bit worried about that I haven't seen happen is the keypads for the chip and pin systems. They haven't been cleaned.
Right.
Every supermarket I've been into so far, I haven't seen anyone clean them. And from a science point of view, I already know where it lands and settles and things, virus-wise. So it's kind of every surface matters.
Well, that is kind of difficult, isn't it? I mean, even in my building here where we're working, it's a big media company, you come in, there's lots of hand sanitizers, but then you have to use a plastic card to open up the security gate to get through and then press a touch-sensitive screen to get in a lift. So it's kind of counterproductive in some ways.
One of the things that I'm a real big advocate of, and also everybody who's part of the MIT Global Community Biotechnology Initiative, is saying is wash your goddamn hands. As soon as you've touched the surface, as soon as you're leaving a surface, go straight and find, you know, a basin, carry a bar of soap if need be, because hand sanitizers only work to a certain degree. And also the properties in the hand sanitizers, they're not very good for your skin in general. So soap, if your hands start to get dry, you know, use some hand cream, but soap is your best effective tool right now to beat this.
Yes, I'm absolutely doing that. As soon as I get to work, I wash my hands. As soon as I do anything else at work, I wash my... every time I go get a cup of tea, I wash them again, which seems to be, quite a good thing. But tell us more about this self-testing kit that you're working on.
Yeah, so it's not me in general. It's a huge community of people. So it was organised by a guy called Thomas and also a guy called Zach. They're both based in the US, and we're part of what's called DIY Bioscience. So we're thousands of people across the world who do science in either informal settings or educational settings, academia. And we just try and teach people science first and foremost. But what these guys are doing is they formed, it's called JOGL. So it stands for Just One Giant Lab. And there's a Slack channel, there's some Zoom accounts, there's a huge Facebook group also, where people can get involved in trying to help create these self-testing kits using the primers and things that are from the CDC, so we can actually make kits that we can use at home to test ourselves. Because the problem we have here in Denmark is, yes, we're all in quarantine for 14 days. Yes, some of us may be sick, but some of us might not be sick. And how do we differentiate between who is and who isn't?
Right.
If we have these self-testing kits that we can do at home, and then we call the virus hotline and say, hey, we've done the self-test kit, it tests positive, then the next steps can be put into place. But in general, right now, it's really getting things off the ground, making people aware that they can build tools and equipment within a week, biology tools, that is, using 3D printers, laser cutters, other machinery that we have within society, thanks to things like digital fabrication, fab labs, maker spaces, and so on. And really getting the community to wake up and realize that we all play a real vital role in this. It doesn't matter if you don't know science or not. You might be good with science communication. You might be really good with social media. It's about making sure that this test kit that's being, worked, I should say, gets out there and people know it's coming.
Yes. One of the things that's being said here in this country is that Boris Johnson and the government are not sort of following in the footsteps of places like Denmark and Ireland, because the view here is that it's better to let more people actually become infected albeit at a slower pace, in order for immune systems to build up.
What's your view
of that?
That's a huge lie, and that is really underestimating so many people's personal health issues. Mm. So I have a lot of health issues myself. I have an immune system that's very compromised because of that. I'm taking my own precautions. Everyone should take their own precautions. But an entire government saying that they're not going to do anything, or, you know, self-quarantine.
They're not saying that. No, they're not saying that. But some critics of the government are saying that they are clearly taking the view that there's no reason to shut everything down, basically, and that's why.
And the reason why they're saying that is because they want to try and keep the economy afloat, especially after what's happened with Brexit.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of on this stance of, we have to keep our economy safe and stable and strong and all these other buzzwords. But effectively, what's happening is, if you have people who are sick, if you have people who end up critically ill, that's going to do more damage to the person, but also to things like the NHS. It's going to put more strain on the nurses, the doctors, the workers, the people on the front line. So what we're trying to do, it's called stopping the curve. The curve point is basically how many people get infected versus how much of a threshold of, say, the NHS can handle.
Yes.
What we're trying to do by doing this self-isolation is drop that curve, to minimise it. And Boris Johnson's response to this is just completely ludicrous in my views as a science person, because by stopping that curve, yes, you can keep the economy stable. We have proof of it here in Copenhagen, where, again, Prime Minister has influenced so many new rules and regulations. Small businesses will get help and assistance. Companies who've had events cancelled, they'll get assistance. People who've lost out on work hours, on money, they'll get assistance. Some things aren't covered, such as childcare, because here in Copenhagen, you pay for your childcare yourself, but then you get some taxes back. It's absurd that he isn't actually trying to influence this.
Well, I mean, that's certainly your opinion, which you're very welcome to. But, I mean, in terms of the spreading of the disease and the harm that it does and the fatalities that it causes, is there any suggestion in Denmark that people are dying who have not got underlying health conditions?
Right now, the data that I'm seeing coming out doesn't really suggest that. In Denmark, we have a very high rate of elderly. We have a high rate of people who smoke and drink. That's just a Danish thing in general. And there's no actual proof that that is a contributing factor to people obviously having a morbidity rate. But what I will say is, if we don't stop the curve, there's going to be a lot more bigger problems, because what's happening is this virus can mutate. If it's out there and then it mutates and it turns into something else, what then? What happens after that? And it's been shown that that's happening in places like China and Singapore, further over in Asia. There's been a case issue of it in the US. So we really need to, A, drop the curve by doing the self-isolation.
Okay. Well, good luck with it, Chanel. Thanks very much for talking to us. Chanel Vestergaard, the community biologist and owner of Little Pink Maker, says that self-isolation is definitely the way forward. It appears that at this moment in time, the only advice to self-isolate is coming from the government if you are, in fact, sick. So if you have a cough and if you have some form of a temperature, then you should self-isolate for 7 days. That's the current advice in this country. This is Talk Radio.
Mid-morning with Mike Graham. Talk Radio. The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
It's Friday, March the 13th. It is 12:33, and it is time for this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Perrier Awards.
I have to say, it has been a show very much dominated by the coronavirus scenario that we are in, so I'm very happy to say that I'm now joined by Marta Malagón from Barcelona to do the Perrier Awards this week, because Con is obviously self-isolating, I guess, is he?
He is self-isolating because he could not upload the podcast yesterday.
So he's currently in punishment block territory.
Yeah, so we've just told him that we don't want to see him today.
He had one job yesterday.
He literally had one job
which
yesterday.
Which he failed to do. Congratulations. Well done.
Anyway, the podcast went out this morning.
Thanks. So thanks to you.
Many apologies to our listeners, but it's there now.
It's there. And today's will go out as well. well, because Con's not here to be in charge of it.
Correct.
Excellent. Splendid.
We'll see what happens on Monday.
Yeah.
Anyway, good afternoon. Welcome to the Perrier Awards.
Thank you.
Is where we look over, we look back over the past week of the so-called Independent Republic of
so
Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Yes.
And choose a favourite moment. As it's tradition, Mike, the first Perrier goes to you.
Thank you.
This one is for Advert of the Week.
There are more people dying of old age listening to this radio show on a daily basis than there are dying of coronavirus. Can we please get a grip? It's true.
I mean, they should put that, like, you know, when the trails for the show?
Yeah, they should. Well, you know, I mean, I like truth in advertising. It's very important to me.
Well, listen, very good.
Thank you.
This is only the first one. However, dear listener, if you survive listening to the show, which
yes,
we can only hope you do,
yeah,
Mike will entertain you, providing the almost swear of the week.
Jerry Godfrey, executive editor of the Times Money Mentor. Back to see you next Tuesday, of course. See, I can see you all laughing behind the glass there. But indeed, she does come in every Tuesday. And I was looking forward to seeing her.
I know.
Next Tuesday.
I know. And you will, hopefully.
Yes.
But, you know, it just, it really, really got me because I wasn't expecting to hear that.
No,
and then I did.
To be honest, I wasn't expecting to say it.
No.
It just sort of came out like that.
Is that how you get through the shows? Like, you just don't expect what you're about to say?
Yeah, I never know where I'm going. I just don't know.
Well, that's good.
And that's why it's spontaneous.
Well done. Anyway, I must say thank you because you made me cry of laughter with that one. So I've got to say thank you very much. Over to our callers now. Mark in Swansea, Windsor Perrier for the greeting of the week.
Good afternoon, Your Eminence. How are you?
That was good. I've got
a special
box of chocolates for Mark, I think.
Oh, very nice. Mm. Very nice. We'll send them along the certificate.
Do.
Well, well. Russ in Sussex gets an award for being the cheeriest caller of the week.
Hello, Mike. Hey, how are you?
Very well, sir. How are you doing?
I'm absolutely average.
You know, we do say that sometimes in this office.
Yes.
It's something that we started doing about a year and a half ago.
Okay. Absolutely average. Yeah. I think it's one of those things that some people do say.
Mm.
You know, it's the first time I've heard it on the show, though.
Yeah, well, there's always a first.
And he's right. He is indeed average.
Right, and the thing I get is that sometimes I say to someone, oh, very average today, and they're like, oh, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing.
It's just a form of speaking.
Yeah, but also average is good.
There's nothing wrong with average.
Average is not bad.
My father, who was, of course, Scottish, used to say there's no such thing as the average Englishman. They're all below average.
Very good. Very good. Anyway,
yes.
Nigel in Temple Fortune makes it to the list of winners for his coronavirus analogy.
No, it's a bit like a pantomime. It's behind you. It's behind you.
Yeah.
Where is it? Oh, there it is.
It's right. It's behind you.
It's everywhere.
Well, it is everywhere, particularly today, I have to say.
Yes, we've literally not spoken about anything else.
It has seeped into every moment of this broadcast, I have to say.
Yeah, and we'll keep talking about it for other Perrier Awards. So, you know, just keep waiting.
Yes.
Another Perrier for you, Mike. Congratulations.
Yes.
This one, you actually share it with Katy Perrier off of the Perrier Awards.
I remember her.
You know? You remember her?
Yeah.
She came on the show early last week and you both won together the Diagnosis of the Week.
Well, listen, I've been cleared of coronavirus. I think I've already had it. I am not in any way an infection or a super spreader of any kind.
It wasn't coronavirus I was worried about.
Oh, right. Okay. Thanks very much indeed for that. Very harsh. She knows me too well.
But fair,
yes, yes, always fair.
I don't want to. But, you know, we love Katie.
Yes.
There's a lot, there's no doubt that coronavirus has been the big story this year.
The dominant story, yes.
It's definitely been the big story today.
Yes.
It'll probably be the big story on Monday.
Probably.
It's the new Brexit.
It is the new Brexit.
For us.
I think
so. You know, broadcasters, media people.
Yes.
It's the new thing that every morning we're like, yes, we're definitely dealing with that.
Yes.
Which makes life easier, but very difficult at the same time.
Mm.
Someone who has managed to stay calm throughout the whole outbreak is former NHS Trust Chairman Roy Lilly.
Yes.
And he wins the Perrier precisely for that.
Yeah, but this is like Operation Yellowhammer all over again, isn't it? This is what they said would happen if we left the European Union. We'd run out of medicine. We'd run out of food. It's all cobblers.
Well, I think it is important that we retain a sense of proportion.
Exactly.
We retain
You've just told me half a million people might die. He did say that.
To be fair, he did say that, and he also did not say that.
Is it a worst-case scenario?
Yeah, but let's not get the truth get in the way of a good Perrier Award, I would say.
Are you saying I made that up?
No.
He did say it was going to be half a million.
But then he corrected himself.
Oh, okay.
See, I could have gone on and actually contemplated this, you know, putting the whole thing and also do it as correction of the week.
Right.
It was too much work.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you Who's got the time?
Well, exactly. And, you know, I've been uploading podcasts all morning, all that stuff.
Extra
I've been very
work.
Busy.
Yeah, of course.
Very busy.
Yeah, of course.
Earlier on the show, we went over to Denmark and to Spain to see how people are coping with coronavirus over there. And even earlier in the week, we went farther away to Sydney and Cross Life to speak to our very own Ricky Freelove, who we miss very much. And we don't think he'll be listening, but, you know.
You never know.
He's picked a really weird time to go on holiday and he's also winning an award for the Dick of the Week.
And finally, do you have any message for Matthew Wright?
Keep up the good work and commiserations on the award.
Very harsh, that.
Hush.
Careful.
You know, you can tell that he's on the other side of the world. He's like, I don't care what I say.
He doesn't care what he says, no. He's like that.
He's like that.
He's very independent.
He's like the Republic.
Yes, similar.
Very similar.
Very similar.
Back to you, Mike.
Yes.
You win the next barrier for saying what we all think.
I'm now beginning to wonder whether we actually now have a nation of complete idiots.
Correct.
I have wondered that after on a few occasions. This is with particular regard to the panic buying that's going on. And idiots buying all the same things.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It really, really annoys me because I've actually got to go and do a weekly shop today.
Yes.
And I don't know what I'm going to find.
Yeah.
I've got like
Nobody
a big supermarket like across the road of where I live.
Okay.
And my flatmate was there the other day and she was like, well, I need to buy loo rolls, but there's just not any.
There's none.
And, you know, we're down to four.
Well, four is okay. That'll keep you going for a while.
Yeah, but not very long. You know, I start getting a little bit stressed when I'm, like, halfway down. I'm like, I need to... I'm one of those people that I need to have, like, a stash all the time.
Okay, well, you know, you should talk to James Max, because he was on Plank of the Week this week.
Yes.
And he revealed that he has in excess of 100 toilet rolls in his house.
Oh, my God. He's going to make so much money if he sells them on eBay.
So if you have a word with him privately on Monday, I'm sure he'll bring some in for you.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to do that.
Okay.
I'm going to do that. Thank you very much.
Not at all.
You also, like, win a Perrier for the innuendo of the week.
Okay. So I'm going to get people kneeling before me, as you might expect me to do, and finding out whether they're enjoying it or not, which should be quite interesting. Well, Johnny Seifert certainly enjoyed it.
He did enjoy it, but then again, he prays all the time.
He does. So he spends a lot of his time on his knees. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, praying.
Okay.
He's very religious, man.
He is. He
Honestly,
is.
He is
I know.
That was great, by the way, because I put out... he came in to talk about squatting and kneeling in the office, and I put out a little Insta story, and I had loads of replies of people who work in this building and sort of know him, being like, why is he kneeling?
Yeah.
Why is he kneeling? And I had to reply to, like, I kid you not, like, maybe 10 or 12 people saying, no, it was for a story.
Yeah.
It was all fine.
Not today, of course, though. He doesn't work Fridays, does he?
No, he doesn't work Fridays for religious reasons as well.
Okay.
So there you go.
All right. Well, I hope he's kneeling somewhere then.
I hope he's somewhere. To be fair, at this stage, I just wish that people just keep existing.
Yes, that's good.
I think it's the best thing. We rarely give Perrier awards to the people who work in the office and not on the show. But this time it is very necessary to make an exception. And in fact, I'm going to name and shame them.
Please do.
The three of them, Roddy, Gareth and Carlos.
Right.
Also known as the digital team at Talk Radio, who are listening outside, hopefully, they win the Perrier for Planks of the Week.
And if some of you are wondering and looking for the live feed on YouTube, it's not out there today because the planks that run the technological side of this business couldn't work out how to do it, I'm afraid.
That was us down in Parliament where we couldn't produce a live stream on YouTube, but there we are. I'm going to stay in here for a while now. They're looking a bit nasty out there.
Yeah, I think we should stay until four, you know, just for our own safety.
We have a lockdown. In the studio.
Off to Julia Hartley breakfast now. Professor of Virology Mark Harris was talking to Julia about coronavirus, obviously. And perhaps unwillingly, he became the ideal candidate to be quarantined.
You have to save quarantine for the vital period when it's most needed.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a difficult call here, isn't there? Because you could say that quarantine now might work, but... You know, when do we actually trigger the quarantine?
Yeah,
when do we trigger
a
lockdown of the UK? And of course, we're not the same as Italy, where all the cases.
I'm a bit worried we're going to have to quarantine you at this rate, Mark.
Yes.
Goodness
no,
me.
I think I'm okay.
I hope he's all right.
Well, I hope
Otherwise,
so too.
Otherwise, we're all making fun of him.
I hope so too. We should try and book him to come on our show.
Yeah, once his cough's got better.
Yeah, obviously on Skype though.
Right.
Like,
yes.
Don't come in the building.
Don't come in the building. No, please.
Anyway, finally, our last Perrier, newsreader legend, Rachel Jewell, wins the complete breakdown of the week.
Managed through an economic shock that could prove large and sharp, but should be temporary.
Wait. Excuse me. Well, the computer just seems to have crashed. From momentarily, I'll bring you the next update. Former Chief Secretary to the Treasury, David Gawk.
Breaking news. My computer's not working. I wonder if they write that in to the script.
Yes.
You know, just in case it happens.
It's to keep people on their toes,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's all intentional.
It's
anyway.
Terrible. Well, this is what happens in live radio. No offense, Rachel. We love you, really.
Oh, of course, yeah. I was going to say, well done dealing with that.
Well done for getting through it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, no one died, so it's all good.
Still not as good as that time you could hear the microphone wasn't working properly a few weeks ago and somebody was running in and out of the studio to try and fix it.
You know, we're going to have to replay that.
We might have to do a Perry Awards of the Year. Have we ever done that?
No.
Maybe we should start preparing for that.
Yeah, okay.
You know, because for when we're all locked down and not able to go anywhere, we'll need a lot of stuff to listen to keep us cheery, cheered up.
Okay, I'll get started on
Marvellous.
That. I'll get Con to start compiling a
yes.
list.
Yes, yeah, because you'll need it to start now.
Yes.
Because he hasn't got much longer left. I don't mean there's anything wrong with him.
No.
But he's leaving.
He's leaving, yeah. He's leaving. Can we say
sad.
It? I don't know if we can say it, so I'm not going to say it.
Well, he's leaving at the end of the month.
Yeah.
He's going to Australia.
Oh, so we can say then.
Yeah, I think so. I think I've said it before.
I'm not sure.
Although
yeah.
they might not let him in now.
Well, listen, that wouldn't be the worst thing.
No.
No, I'm joking, of course.
It wouldn't
we
be.
Love you dearly.
Yes.
Anyway,
thank
that's
you very
all.
Much.
Thank you very much.
See you next week.
See you next week.
The Perrier Awards on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
If you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio via DAB, online, or via the Talk Radio app. And if you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us on 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
Mid-morning with Mike Graham. Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.